Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm going to give you a brief update on Black Wall Street, which I think is very, very important. And I think we must understand, what do we tell our children? We need to start telling our children the truth. For too many years, we have sit back and not told them the truth. And right now, they're living a lie. So let's start telling them the truth. Black Wall Street, a true story. If anyone truly believes that the last April attack on the federal building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, was the most tragic bombing ever to take place in the United States soil, or on the United States soil, as the media had been widely reporting, they're dead wrong. Plain and simple. That's because an even deadlier bomb occurred in the same state nearly 75 to 80 years ago. Many people in high places would like to forget that it ever happened. Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. One would also be hard-pressed to find documentation of the incident, let alone an accurate account of it in any scholarly reference or American history book. That's precisely the point. Noted author, publisher, orientator Ron Wallace, a Tulsa native, solved to make nearly 5 years ago when he began researching this riot, one of the most and the worst incidents of violence ever visited upon people of African descent. Ultimately joined on the project by a colleague, Jay Wilson of Los Angeles, the duo found and compiled indisputable evidence of what they now describe as a Black Holocaust in America. The date was June 1st, 1921, when Black Wall Street, the name fittingly given to one of the most affluent all-black communities in America, was bombed from the air. Now listen to this. They actually dropped bombs on this community from airplanes above. It was a war that they had declared on the black community. They burned to the ground by a mob of envious whites. In a period spanning fewer than 12 hours, a once-thriving 36 black business district in northern Tulsa lay smothered, a model community destroyed, and a major African-American economic movement resoundingly diffused. The night left 3,000 African-Americans dead, over 600 successful business losses. Among these was 21 churches, 21 restaurants, 30 grocery stores, 2 movie theaters, plus a hospital, a bank, a post office, library, schools, law office, half a dozen private airplanes, and even a bus system. As could have been expected, behind all this was the infamous Ku Klux Klan working in concert with the Reagan city officials. It's the same thing that's going on today. The best description of Black Wall Street is Little Africa, and it was also known. It would be likened to a mini Beverly Hills. It was the golden door of the black community during the early 1900s. It proved that African Americans had successful infrastructure, and that's why Black Wall Street was all about. The dollar circulated 36 to 100 times, sometimes taking a year to leave the community. Now, dollars leave the community in less than 15 minutes. As far as resources, there was a PhD residing in Little Africa, black attorney, doctors. One doctor was Dr. Berry, who owned the bus system. His average income was $500 a day, a healthy pocket change in 1910. During the era of the physicians, old medical school. There was also pawn shops everywhere, jewelry store, 21 churches, 21 restaurants, and 2 movie houses. It was a town when the entire state of Oklahoma had only two airports, yet six blacks on their own plane. It was a very fascinating community at that time. So I just want to tell everybody I'm going to continue with this next week, part two. But you need to know the work of our community and what we can do. Do we tell our children the truth, or do we continue to lie to them about how wonderful this country is? Now, remember this. They bombed a city in this country, just like they did in Philadelphia. But I'm going to bring in my good friend from Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Ron Caesar. Let him talk a little bit about what's going on in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Mr. Caesar, are you there? Dr. Caesar, are you there? Hello? Dr. Caesar. Linda Brown, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Pinckney, I'm here. I think he must have his phone on mute. You know, he needs to take his phone off of mute. He just texted me, and he say he's on the line. So I don't know why he's not picking up. You got the number. It's 225-328-4515.
Yes, I got it. That is correct.
Dr.
But,
Caesar.
But we're right there.
Okay.
Mr. Caesar, are you there? Doctor. Dr. Caesar, are you there? All right, I'll keep it open. If he just happened to get it together, I could bring him on, Belinda. But let's talk to you, okay? I'm going to leave it open, and if he's able to bring it in, we'll get him in. But we'll do the best we can. All right, let's talk to my good friend, my girl.
I hope that Derek Edwards is on the line, too, Pastor Pinckney. You know, because I really wanted you to get him on. You know, he is running for the Louisiana State Treasurer, and he is an awesome person. He's the most qualified candidate that's in the race, and he did tell me that he would try to pick up the phone so that he can talk to you today about how important that race is for him and for him to, you know, win that race. You know, and what it would mean to us here in Louisiana when it comes to our, you know, state in regards how our money is being spent, you know, being transparent, because, you know, Pastor Pinckney, you know, since Katrina, I know you've been watching this state very close. You know, here in Louisiana, you have also been down here a couple of times, and you have seen the suffering of the people. You know about all the money that came into the state around the country, and that, you know, it was to help people get back into their homes and stuff after Katrina. You realize that there was a lot of injustice that placed here in Louisiana. A lot of people were scammed. A lot of people were, you know, concocted with fraudulent information. You know, people were put in prison. You know, all of this took place after Katrina. The most dangerous and damaging thing that happened to the people here in Louisiana is that they was marginalized when it came to the vote. You know, their votes were stolen away from them, Pastor Pinckney. And we know that a lot of things happen by design in order to...
Right.
Oh, Dr. Caesar, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we were trying to get you on a few minutes ago.
All right.
I don't know what happened. I stayed on the line 10 minutes before.
Okay, well, go right ahead. We was waiting on you to get on, but Pastor Picnic, why don't you let him go ahead and tell us about what's happening there in Baton Rouge? You know, he's one of the most powerful men here in the state of Louisiana. You know, he has ran for governor, and, you know, he's going to tell you about his most recent experience when he put his name, you know, in the race for the Louisiana state treasurer. Go right ahead, Dr. Caesar.
All right, yes, Dr. How you doing?
Doing fine. How you doing there, bro? Picnic's been a long time.
Yes, it has. It's been a long time, but I tell you, I am just so happy that, you know, that you're doing well. And I know you got a story to tell. So, you know, and here's what I want. You can take as much time as you want. Just tell us about what's going on in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay. two things. One is the disqualification of black officials in the state of Louisiana. What the state of Louisiana has is some Jim Crow laws that were put on the books in the 1960s and 70s when there were not very many black state representatives or state senators, if any, because at that time the Voting Rights Act, as you know, was passed in 1965, and we didn't begin to have our voice until from 1965 on. So these laws were put on the books in the late 60s with little or no input from the people of color or women, and therefore some of them stayed on the books over these last 50 years, and nobody brought them about. So myself, I was disqualified for not paying a state debt, alleged state debt, because I told them I didn't owe it, and it was a fine for mailing a letter late, $3,500. I mean, you heard right, mailing a report late, $3,500. The state of Louisiana Jim Crow law was that if you are late doing a report, you will be fined $100 a day. And so the lady told me, Mr. Caesar, you are late 33 days, $3,300. I said, like hell, wow. If I'm going to pay. That went on. The thing got down to $1,500 because I did appeals after appeals. And then I qualified for office last July 14th for a state treasurer. And there were seven of us, two blacks, myself, independent, and a black Democrat. Well, things hit the fan because they were slick. They sent letters to my old address where I stayed in Lake Charles some 17 years ago instead of to me. And therefore, I didn't know anything was going on. A letter stating, hey, you owe state debt. If you run for office, we're going to disqualify you because we have a law on the book. The law was the Jim Crow law that if you owe a state debt, they can stop you from qualifying. In other words, it could be $25. They could say, hey, he won't pay us, so we won't let him run for office. I'm not knowing this going on because they're slick. They sent it to two previous addresses, the notices. Lo and behold, I get sued in court. I still don't even know what's going on. This is the cold part. The judge, in order to protect himself, he said, have y'all tried to contact Mr. Caesar? Well, sir, we sent everything to his last known address. That's what they use, that last known address. Known to them publicly, last known address, but privately, they knew I was still right here in Opelousas, Louisiana. So to make a long story short on that, they say, well, we have to proceed with a disqualification, Your Honor. And the judge said, oh, I feel uneasy about this because in the state of Louisiana, all over the U.S., Mr. Caesar has a right to due process of law. In other words, he must be notified he's being sued. How can he defend himself? So right. The judge said, I'm going to take a five-minute recess. He went next door. He noticed a young lawyer leaving the courtroom. He said, sir, you doing anything? He said, not really. I just settled a case. Some black guy, I guess, was had a burglary charge, instead of getting 40 years, he got 15. He took the deal. Boy, boy.
Yeah.
So anyway, it turns out the brother could have gotten away with 2 years. But to make a long story short, on my end, the white attorney asked, could he sit in and be my lawyer in absentia? I've never heard of this in my life. But Sister Belinda Brown say she has been in court and seen it herself. So they went to court, had court without me. That was on a Monday. They set the hearing for Tuesday because it did some preliminaries. Wednesday, I had a judgment. Judgment, you are disqualified, Negro, from running for this office. I'm in Shreveport, Louisiana, campaigning for an office that I no longer was qualified for. Wow.
Man, that's amazing.
Pardon me?
That's amazing. I never heard of that before.
I never heard of it either, sir. The way I found out is what they knew the judgment had been rendered because they said this was a process they put in Jim Crow law, too. When they disqualifying a person, everything runs in spurts of 24 hours so they can keep your name from going on the ballot because, as you know, a lot of people don't know it. They send ballots overseas to armed forces and all that. Let's say the election was October the 14th. Well, they'll send them the ballot a month ahead of time. So you got to get everything in early. So about the third week after you qualify, whether they like it or not, your name's going to show up on a ballot, so they got to stop you as quick as they can. So I qualified on July 14th, and guess what? Sir, on the 26th, I was disqualified.
Wow.
Wow. Only in America. So
that's right.
But what I did was I filed suit, is in court right now to fast forward. And we will be having a hearing for a temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction to stop the November 18th election or declare it null and void due to a violation of my constitutional right to run for office because the Jim Crow law was written in the early 70s by a former Klansman. Reason I say that is that remember, we didn't have black state representatives. These guys in the 60s were terrorizing blacks in Bogalusa, Louisiana, and elsewhere because that's near the Mississippi line. They crossed the line at night and terrorized the people like in Bogalusa. And as in history has dictated, the Brotherhood of Deacons formulated their own coalition of, I think it was 30-some or 40-some deacons from the church, armed shotguns and radio-equipped cars and protected their community. And they'll go down in history forever for protecting because the Klan would come over at night and terrorize them until these brothers got these shotguns. Then they went somewhere else. They said, oh, them niggas, they're crazy. We can't mess with them.
Yeah.
But but still, it's going on till today, they say, now that these brothers have passed on, this next generation moving to California and New York, and the older people are left, and they say they're back to using these old tactics of harassing the senior citizen. It's just shameful and to say that's happening in 2017.
Wow.
And so, go ahead, sir.
So what is your plan right now?
Well, right now, I'm going to pursue it through court to get the temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction to void the whole election. Because even though, let's say November 18th, they go ahead on and have the election, the lawsuit will continue to run. And if they find that they violated my constitutional right, because it's unlawful to take a man's right to vote or run for office simply because he owns a state desk, the election is void.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I know what you're saying and what you got to do, and you know, and you got to continue to pound away. You got to continue to spread the word, let people know, because that is, you know, that's to me, it's this country is going to the dogs. You see, and
we're back in the 60s and 50s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and but we allow it to do, but we do nothing. We don't talk about it. You know, people need to know what is going on in different parts of this country, because it's getting to be out of control. And
really,
and I'm glad that you step into the plate and doing what needs to be done. I'm really proud of you, Dr. Caesar. I'm proud to know a guy who's willing to go this far and deal with these people, because these are bad people. You see,
they're
dealing with bad people. But the newspaper try to make them out to be good people, and that's
right.
Unfortunate, because we know who they are. You see, the difference
right.
is you got to know who these people are, and I know who these people are, and it's going to continue to be this way until we step to the plate and do something big about it. We got to fight on every angle.
Definitely, and so what I did, I went to New Orleans, and I thought I was the Lone Ranger. Brother Pickney, they disqualified 7 blacks and 1 white. We're calling the blacks the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
From that movie, you know, those cowboys that wouldn't take no mess.
Right.
Because I encouraged them to file suit, and so they filed suit about a month after me.
Amazing. You know what? Dr. Caesar, I am so proud of you. Just taking this jazz stuff, especially down in Louisiana, where you know that they do have the largest prison population per capita per 100,000 in practically the whole world, and it's amazing. You're number one down there in that department, and that's nothing to brag about. But they bragged about it. They think they're actually doing something. And what they are doing is disgraceful and embarrassing. And I'm glad that you took time out and going to fight this and go all the way with it. Don't let them discourage you. And if you know if necessary, I'll come down there myself and work with you and get these people moving and getting things done, because we have to take this thing to a whole different level. We have to show them, you see. Because they got law enforcement behind them. You know, the corruption is so bad that, you know, you don't know who's who. And you also may have a few black folks working with them, too. So you got to be careful with that, too. Because, you know.
You are correct, because, and Sister Belinda Brown knows about this. In the same election, the only other black candidate I mentioned is a lone Democrat named Derek Edwards. Do you know that the Democratic Party refused to endorse him? The man is a state senator. And that's why I'm an independent right now, and I encourage all blacks nationwide, do not just simply be a Democrat, because they have written our backs since the time before Lincoln. Blacks used to be Republicans because of Abraham Lincoln, who was a Republican, and he just so happened ended slavery in 1865 with the 13th Amendment and a bullet. It took a war to end slavery and the 13th Amendment, because they were saying long live the South and slavery, because, you know, the white brothers were so lazy, they had to have somebody else do their work. But it is what it is. So what happened was, when I think somebody told me, when the early 50s came, the Ku Klux Klan infiltrated the Republican Party, and then blacks switched over to Democrats. But that does not give them a reason to ride our backs and don't do anything for us. So therefore, in the 90s, when Cleo Fields, a state senator from Southern University, when he ran for office, and he was a long shot, and Mary Landrieu was the favorite golden white daughter, if you will, she missed the runoff by a few votes, and here a black man got into the runoff, and they refused, the Democratic Party refused to endorse him. Oh, I told my wife at the time, I said, oh, baby, that's wrong. That was on a Friday. I said, Monday I'm going to change my party to independent, and from now on I'm going to vote for the person and not the party. Now, y'all do what y'all want. That's between you and God. But this lady is a Democratic leader. She's the leader of the Democratic Party in the state of Louisiana, Karen Carter Peterson. And we're told behind closed doors, she told Derek Edwards, a Democrat, you can't win. You can't win. Drop out of the race. I'm like, what? The guy made the runoff just a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And she didn't expect that, did she?
She didn't expect that, and I told her, brother, be encouraged, because just think, you got in the runoff because they split the white votes. Two of us were disqualified or whatever, and one guy dropped out of the race because they cut a deal with him. Hey, we'll give you $500,000 if you stay home. He took the money. So they're left with five. They split the votes so evenly, you know that was divine intervention. And Carter got into a runoff. First time in the history of Louisiana a black man been in a runoff for that office, because that's been a white-owned position since inception. So we are making some history down here. And the Democratic Party came together. The recent vote, Sister Belinda can tell you about that maybe a little later on in the show, to say, hey, we got to get behind this man and get him to win November 18th. Do you know that she is the only one that was apprehensive? And the word we got from my sources is that, look, they told her, look, we done paid you all this money. You endorsed this Republican secretly. And you forgot you couldn't get this other Negro to withdraw. Do your job. Tell him no, to bow out of the race. Wow. Only in the state of Louisiana.
Wow. Amazing. And I tell you, you know, that's how the Dixiecrats was formed, because of that. You know, down there in the southern Dixiecrats. They came alive. And that's really what we're talking about here. These folks trying to dictate to everybody who should be elected and who not to be elected. And you know what? It's hard for me to support the Democratic Party. Very hard.
Me too.
Support them. Yeah, I cannot support them, because they're just as much as a fraud as the Republican Party. You see?
Exactly.
So
people need to know. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, but you...
Is I'm
you
still on,
on,
Pastor Pickney?
No,
yeah, you on.
Oh, okay. I
no,
didn't know.
No,
I was sitting out.
I
want to expose that, Pastor Pickney, when you give me a chance. I want to expose what's really happened down
she
here.
She can't do shit, Pastor Pickney. Hey, Pastor Pickney, I yield for a minute. This is important. Let her talk.
Go. All right. No, Dr. Caesar, I'm really enjoying you, because you hitting the nail right on the head. Everything that you're saying is really getting me fired up. But I think we have Derek on the line, and I know we want to give him the opportunity, because we definitely want to support this young man. You know, we definitely want to get behind him and make sure that he win this Louisiana State Treasurer's position. Because of the fact that, you know, he is the most qualified candidate, and that, you know, we're tired of the games, we're tired of the schemes, we're tired of the politics and politicking. You know, we want as the people, we're the people, want to elect our own leaders in this state, and we refuse for them to try to block us, stop us, or keep us from electing the leaders that we vote for these very powerful positions, Pastor Pickney. And I want to expose that. So I want to give Derek the opportunity first, because I know he's busy. You know, he's campaigning. You know, he's But he's not on the line, though. He's not on.
Oh, he's Okay. Well, then maybe he didn't even get a chance to get on with us, but he might even be coming on later. But this is what I can go ahead and say this, Dr. Caesar, because you're still on and you can weigh in on this too as well. We're in the process right now exposing our Democratic chair, Karen Carter Peterson. You know, we didn't nickname her the Yellow Dog Republican. And we know for a fact, thank you, Dr. Caesar, for that, because it was your words. And, you know, somebody say, well, I call her a yellow dog because yellow is a pretty color. But anyhow, the fact that she is a fraud, she's a fake, you know, she has been bought and paid to sabotage the Democrat Party. And we know for a fact, you know, she works for one of the largest, richest law firms that is a Republican law firm and getting paid by them. Okay, she's a lawyer, she's an attorney, and she's getting paid by them to sabotage our party. So there it is, Pastor Pickman. They will come out blatantly and boldly and endorse and fundraise for Republicans. Did you hear me? I say they would, the party, the chair, would come out blatantly and boldly and endorse their Republican Party. And then the governor, you know, Louisiana is a red state. We ran a governor 2 years ago, a Democrat, a good man. He's a, qualified candidate. She literally put in the newspaper, wrote a letter to tell this man to drop out of the race so that they can endorse a moderate Republican to be our governor in this state. We got the evidence.
And he just so happened to be white, huh?
Yeah, he's a white man, but he's a Democrat. And he was running for governor that our organization endorsed. We got behind him because we have been fighting, you know, in the trenches, I mean, boots on the ground to turn our state blue, to expose all of these fake Democrats that's been sitting on our leadership, you know, local and statewide, you know, seats for our DSCC and our DPEC, you know, communities, organizations, committee, and with masses on. These people have infiltrated our Democratic Party to push the Republican agenda through the party. And we are exposing it, Pastor Pickney. I mean, it is so sickening that they think that they can say and do anything and we are supposed to believe it when we have all the facts and everything to prove it, that for years that has been their scheme and their strategy to sabotage our party so that they can push the Republican agenda through. And that's the reason why we wind up with a president like them, Donald Trump.
Interesting. Very, very, very good. You know, one of the things I have learned, I'm just happy to see you and Dr. Caesar actually doing the things that need to be done. It takes more people like you two to really expose this system for what they really are. And it's just tremendous, Belinda. When I talk about some of the things that's happening in Louisiana, nobody would believe it because with the corporate media controlling everything and you know, and they're giving their perspective, you know, the truth never really comes out. So you got a chance here. We having a tremendous time. We got a tremendous audience today, and you got an excellent chance to tell these people exactly what's going on down in Louisiana. And I'm just happy to have you and Dr. Caesar on. Unfortunately, Mr. Edwards have not came on, and I'm still looking for him to come on. I hope he come on before the show is over. But tell me a little bit about him.
Well, Dr. Dr. Caesar just put everything on the line, you know, in regards, I really believe that that had not been for, you know, the situation with Dr. Caesar, we would have two very strong candidates in favor of the people in this race. Two very strong qualified candidates would really had, I think that was the whole demise and the whole scheme and strategy to keep Dr. Caesar, you know, off the ballot, because after he had qualified and been placed on the ballot, they took his name off. I want the whole world to know how these people, you know, and the person that took his name off, the law says that the only way that your name, you can be challenged on the ballot is if it was by an opposing candidate. The person that took it up on her own, Dr. Caesar, you want to say that? Go ahead. Say that, Dr. Caesar.
Yeah, her name is Kathleen Allen. She's with the Board of Ethics. And it's unprecedented, as Sister Brown said, because, as you know, Brother Pinckney, if you run for city council and it's five of y'all, and one of the candidates say, hey, Brother Pinckney does not live in my district. That's the address for his mom. Then he goes to court and he challenges that, and you have a right to defend yourself. Well, myself, not only did I not have my day in court, some white lawyer just stood in and said, yeah, I'm protecting Mr. Caesar's rights. Everything seems to be in order. Well, guess what? I sued him, too. That tripped him out. So, yeah, I sued him for inadequate counsel. So,
let me tell you how blatant and bold these people are, Pastor Pinckney, when they want to make up their own laws and just come out of the blue and make up their own laws and do what they want to do. The judge took it upon himself to appoint a curator to take to stand in the court. Really, the lawyer didn't want to do it because he knew it was wrong. But this is how people, you know, abuse their authority here. You know, the judge took it upon his own to put this lawyer in a jam box to be sued and everything else by Dr. Caesar by standing as a curator for Dr. Caesar without him knowing anything about it.
Right.
So this is how bold these people are. I'm Pastor Pinckney. I just want to say it is so blatant and outrageous what these people are doing here in the state of Louisiana when it comes to, I mean, just totally mistreating the people and doing whatever they want to do to them. And nobody is saying anything. And you guess what, Pastor Pinckney? If it wouldn't be for you right now, we would not be getting this national attention, you know, in the spotlight on what's happening here, because the media and everybody have bought into the oppression and the wrongdoing that's happening in this state. We can't, even when we tried to put Dr. Caesar's story, his lawsuit and everything that's been filed in the federal court, okay, they refuse to give him, you know, his opportunity to speak to the public about what's going on. We had to go out and use our own social media tools just to get it out there, because we want the people to know how, you know, how serious this is. This is serious. This is serious, Pastor Pinckney.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me say this, and you know, the fight continues. Just you and Dr. Caesar standing up like this and getting things moving like never before. Use that, you know, use social media. Use that Facebook. Use these things, because you're not going to get that corporate media to do anything. Anything they say, they so busy trying to build up white folks that it's a shame. That's, you know how the airplane is here. I could talk about them for a week and tell you all the things that they do down here, which is you know, all the illegal things that they be doing down here. But the point is, we got to make sure we hold them accountable for their actions. and for their inaction. We got to make sure that we're on top of what we're doing and continue to fight. I take my hat off to you, too, because y'all doing what needs to be done. You have to stand up and say no more. We have had enough of this crap, you know, but it's going to continue until somebody say, hey, this is what needs to be what needs to happen, and this is something that we can do, and we got to continue. Also, I know you talk about this, but I want to talk about Mr. Victor for a second, just for a second, because Belinda, I think you know the story more than anything else. I got about 5 more minutes to give you, but I want to make sure that people around Louisiana understand what happened to Mr. Victor and his family, because people need to know about Mr. Victor from Louisiana. And I have reached out to some people able to help. I'm working on some things. I yesterday I was in Detroit, and I told this the guy from the ACLU about this guy, and he said that they had an ACLU down in Louisiana. You know, I'm going to be talking to him during the week, and we're going to talk some more about this. But I don't know what we can actually do other than get his story out there and explain to people about the injustices that have taken care. See, I always tell people that we have to fight whether they like it or not. We have to stand up whether they like it or not. We have to do the things that need to be done whether they like it or not. You know, and it don't have to be all about you. You know, it could be about someone else who is suffering. And Mr. Victor and his wife, they're suffering. Any time that you receive a life sentence and nobody says nothing about it, I got a major problem with that. I got a problem with that, and I'm working on several things at this time. I've been really, really, truly, truly busy. And but I want to take the time out and deal with Mr. Victor, and hoping that we can open some doors there and maybe even get him out. I know Louisiana is a tough state, and I know it's controlled, but we can bust it open, bust it wide open, just like we busted Michigan wide open. In my words, it's going down. But we're going to need everybody help, everybody doing something, because everybody can do something. See, sometimes people say that we can't do nothing. Even with the election and stuff like that, everybody can do something. And one of the things that I think is a big weapon, will be a big weapon for you and Dr. Caesar down there, that voter registration is crucial. You know, and usually if you go out and register them or your people go out and register them, you can almost count on them to vote the way you like.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
and they can't be intimidated, you know, into doing things like mm-hmm. they normally used to do. They would intimidate you, scare you, tell you what they're going to do, and that's what they did. You know, they intimidated so many people, scared so many people, that people, you know, nowadays, that's one of the reasons why people don't go vote. They only mm-hmm. even, we you know, we vote on November 7th. And November 7th is it's the day that, you know, the election is going to take place here. But we got that income tax on where we trying to build up the revenue inside the city of Benton Harbor. And they don't want it. The power to be don't want it. You know, because now you got black people able to think for themselves. That's what they don't want. They want to be able to control you and think for you. They want to tell you who can run, who can't run. They want to tell you that, you know, you're in violation code 1722, and will get away with it because they have judges, prosecutors, they have, you know, state reps, most of them are white, and all that evil and wickedness that exists, we have to get out here and do something. Dr. Caesar, you know, I take my hat off to you because I'm happy to see a man who's willing to challenge this system, especially in Louisiana, you know. But Michigan just as bad as Louisiana when you think about that. And Belinda, I know that you're working hard, and you and I, we worked together for years and years, and we're not through yet because We're going to turn this thing upside down. And as soon as I'm able to get down there, my goal is to get down there with you and maybe put our heads together and neutralize these folks, because we can do
welcome.
It. Because I know that we can get out here and win, Dr. Caesar. I know that we can do these things, Belinda, but we got to get out here and work.
Right.
So you know what
we
have.
Yes,
we can.
Go ahead, Dr. Caesar, and then I'm going to wrap it up with Pastor Pinckney, because
I just want to say in a minute we can do it together. And you're right, Dr. Pinckney. What I have been using and what has been most effective is the social media. Right now, I don't call the news media for anything. They call me, hey, we didn't get it. I say, well, I didn't send it. The news is sent out by my organization, Power. We use Twitter and Facebook to get our messages out. And it's very effective because we use it in the form of an Associated Press release, and it goes nationwide. Donald Trump, I got to give him that. He's smart enough to use Twitter to be his own social and media release. We have to learn from the white folks what works. It works. You don't have to wait on the TV station. You don't have to wait on the radio. Only use the media that you want, like Dr. Pinckney, Pastor Pinckney, whatever. But the rest of them, they call me from now on and ask me what's going on, because I don't even tell them. I just put it on Twitter and Facebook, and my phone start ringing off the hook. Mm-hmm. These seven guys, Magnificent Seven in New Orleans, like I said, they filed federal suit. They're going to join us on a march on November the 10th in Ville Platte and Mamou, Louisiana, because seven black men have died at the hands of policemen within the last 7 years. And we are publishing their names, and Alton Sterling is the one that's most well-known. I started a recall against him, and it's going very well until January 3rd is the deadline. And I didn't ask anybody for nothing. I simply told them, if you're interested, contact your local voter registration office. And what our Power organization did was we sent a packet to all 64 parishes. So it's not what you do, it's how you do it. Now people just have to go up to the voter registration office, say, I want the ballot on the recall of the attorney general. So we're outsmarting them. They don't like Ron Caesar, but they respect Ron Caesar because of my education. They say, well, he's a dangerous Negro because he's got that knowledge, and knowledge is power. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Absolutely.
And let me say this to you, Dr. Caesar. You said the correct thing, knowledge is power, and we got to learn. And here's a key thing, too, Dr. Caesar. We got to learn to work together. That's
right.
One of the biggest things that is the hardest thing for us to do is work together, because they know how to throw dollars around. They know how to do certain things. They know that, you know, how money can divide up any organization, but I'm just so happy, Dr. Caesar, that you are right there, and I know that you're going to get all the help you can, and I'm with you 100%. And
you know, and
I'm going to see how many people listening in on that. We usually average a little bit over 100,000 folks that, you know, during the whole week now, not just listening today, but for the whole week, they listen to it, because I sent out an email. Everybody get a chance to listen to it. And I'm hoping people from Louisiana will hear this and also want to tune in and come out and give you a helping hand. And I'm hoping that don't give up. Don't let them, you know, I don't think you will. Like, I got faith that you will.
Oh, no.
You're not gonna give up. And you're not going to let these folks go. This is what they do. They're evil and they're wicked, and they do what they do because we allow it. Anytime you allow people to do this, that's how they get away with it. But listen, I'm going to have Belinda have a last word, and then I got to move on, and we'll see. I got to bring in my good friend Rosie. Let her say a few words before it's over with. And Mr. Edwards did not make it today. he'll have an opportunity in the future. We're not going to shut him out because he didn't make it today. But we're going to continue what we're doing. But Belinda, go ahead, go ahead and tell me what you got to say so I can go right ahead.
Pastor Pinckney, I want to tell you what the people really need to know. You know, it's people like you that are so well so much appreciated, and you are serious about what you're doing, Pastor Pinckney. You have really taken a huge, huge step, you know, in your life, and you know, I've been reading your book. I mean, it is a phenomenal book, you know, and I know you don't have a chance to, you know, I want you to start covering your book to let people know about how powerful that book is, telling your life story about your fight and the reason why you are so adamant and serious about helping us. You know, this is a job. We have a job to do. We have to unite. And that's what I mean, you are such an inspiration to me, Pastor Pinckney. But I know for a fact this is one of the things that I have heard you say in the past. You have said that we can't wait. We cannot wait. You know, there's a lot of common people out here. You know, they don't do nothing until something happens. You know,
right.
You know, Pastor Pinckney, you know, you always said that we the busiest people in the world doing nothing, you know. I want to challenge the listeners out here. You know, whenever there is a great move, whenever a great move has to be made, or whenever there is a great movement that has to take place, you know, we must move as a force, as a strong united front, because these people know, they know who we are, and they know if they can separate us and divide us, they can pick us off one by one. So the key, I mean, the greatest, this is not a secret, Pastor Pinckney. All of our life, that's all they have ever tried to do was separate us and divide us. You know, we don't have to stay ignorant to that device any longer. We have to unite. And that's what I see that's happening in the NFL. You know, me and Dr. Caesar was having this conversation, and we got to stand up and get with these young men in the NFL and stand with them. Colin Kaepernick, we have to stand with this man. What he is standing for is what's right. We're not worried about what the common people, everybody's sitting around waiting to see what somebody else going to do. It's what we going to do. What
right.
are you going to
right.
do?
That's
you
right.
That's
right.
You know, if we boycott, because right now, if we boycott, all I'm seeing on the news is how much money they losing. See, if we hit them in their pocket, Pastor Pinckney, you already said this so many times, I got this from you. We got to hit them in their pockets where it hurts, and that's what Dr. Caesar did. And when he filed that lawsuit against me, he said, Belinda, they fit to make me rich. He said, okay, I'm all right with that. But he had to do something. He had to file the lawsuit against them, Pastor Pinckney. And that's what we have to do. We have to continue to do what it is that we have to do to help people like Mr. Victor. Mr. Victor is an innocent man. He wasn't even there when the crime that they accused him of was committed. He had another person that took the witness stand and say they did it. So why is that man in prison? Why is he doing life in prison? Because they hated him, because he was smart, because he was rich. He was a developer. He was a multi-million-dollar developer that had all these sport players and the Saint players. He had 18 of them that was giving him millions of dollars to build them homes for them, build homes for them, okay? They did not want Mr. Victor, okay, to be greater than them. And the God that gave him life in prison was the husband of the contractor that Mr. Victor was in competition with. Okay, we can't be ignorant to these people's devices. They make things hard for us because we sit back. We want to believe everything they say. They told this man, Mr. Victor White, that his son was handcuffed in the back of the car and shot. It was shot, and he shot himself. How in the world is we supposed to believe that? But we say, he committed suicide. Oh, that's what he did. We want to talk about and ask questions when we're not even supposed to fall for that foolishness in the first place? How you going to shoot a man that's handcuffed in the back of the seat and then you going to tell the people he committed suicide? That's playing on our intelligence. We are not ignorant to their devices. We are not going to tolerate this anymore. We're not going to put up with what they say and then we're supposed to believe it and ask them questions about it. I don't want to hear it anymore, Pastor Pinckney. This has got, I'm going to tell you right now, this is the end of the day that we're going to step back and let these people continue to do what they think they can get away with.
And you know, Belinda, and you're right on point because they get away with what we allow them to get away with. And one of the things that we don't realize is more of us than them. You see, that's
right.
The key thing. Even some of the people that think that these guys are with them and they want to be with them, they want to be like them, the key thing that we have to learn is that we have to take a stand and we got to move self out the way.
Right.
See, the key thing, we got to move self out the way because if we keep self right there, they can take advantage of the situation. See, most people can be bought and sold. You see what I'm saying? That's the history. We can be bought and sold. And when they find out that they can't buy you, then you can't be sold. So that's the most important thing that we do. And then, you know, we run fast. See, we as black people, we run fast. But we don't run long.
And
we're like,
and then we got
you know,
price tags hanging on us. Then we got price tag because we need it. We need this. We need that. We got to have this. We got to have that. That's the reason why you can be bought and sold because you pat it down with price tags every which way. Pastor Pinckney, we got to expose that. You are absolutely right.
Absolutely. And the only way we can do it is keep talking about it. You know, people may not want to hear, but that's too bad. On the Pinckney Show, you have a right to say whatever your heart desires. I don't care about them getting mad. I don't care about them getting angry. I don't care about them getting upset. I don't care. We have to do what we have to do. We have to take this thing to a whole different level. We have to show the world what we stand for and stop letting them kick us around like old shoes and stuff like that because
stop giving them all the money.
Stop
giving them our money, Pastor Pinckney, because that's the reason why
we got to learn to keep our money in our community. Keep the money circulating in your very own community. That's why the black community is dying today because we're so busy trying to go. Well, I'm going to go to the mall. Well, the mall is not owned by you. Find some area where you might own where you can keep the money circulating. And we have not. As the worst thing that has happened to our community, and you know, and another thing I know that y'all may not know, but integration—that was the worst thing that ever happened. Integration was the worst thing that ever happened. It took us out of our own community. It took us away from doing things that was right. You know,
it made us run to them looking for help. Now, here we go, running to them looking for help, and they the very ones that's got their foot on our neck, that's got us oppressed, but we thinking they supposed to help us, though, because we got to run to them and say, oh, we need help with this, we need help with that, help us, help us, help us. How are you going to ask them for help, and they are the perpetrator?
Absolutely, and here's the sad part, there's never really help, and we looking for help from people who never really helped us. That's why, you know, that's why we have to study Black Wall Street. We have to start doing things we need to do. And we still need to stop asking them for jobs and start creating jobs for ourselves. That's another thing.
Amen.
And keep the money circulating inside your community. That's a weapon that you have to use whether you like it or not. Listen, I'm out of time. Unfortunately, I wanted to bring on Rob, but I guess we got into this a little bit too deep. But here's the good news. The boycott of the NFL is still on. I will not watch another football game until this man get a job. And if he don't get a job, I will never watch a game again. And that's a promise, not a say-so. And it's unfortunate, but this is the way it got to be. Someone got to take a stand. And I love me some sports because I'm an athlete myself. But I tell you this much: I will not watch another game, never ever again, until he gets a job. If he never gets a job, I never watch football again. That's a promise, not a say-so, and this is the end of my show, and I got to say goodbye to everybody. Next week, same time, same station, and remember, Black Wall Street, where they bombed the black people from the airplane above, and we said nothing. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Thank you, Dr. Caesar. Thank you, Belinda Brown.
Thank you, brother.
And I tell you, this is the beginning. This is just the beginning. And we're going to do some big things. Let's do it. And let me say goodnight, all.